but she notes that many other Oriental nations were also part of that flow, along with a mere handful of Caucasians.
We're talking about 500,000 people, two-thirds from China and Japan. And then there were immigrants from 80 other countries from around the world. We have chapters about the Chinese, about the Japanese, about the Koreans, South Asians from India and Pakistan, Mexicans, Filipinos, and European countries. I have a chapter on the experiences of Russians and Jews coming across Siberia, China, Japan, and then across the Pacific to land in San Francisco. And many of them also were taken to Angel Island and processed through there.
Among that mix, Young reports, the Russians and Jews were quite readily admitted, with only short delays, while the rate of rejection was highest for South Asian Indians.
South Asians, those from India in particular, Sikhs from the Punjab area, had the highest deportation rate. 66% were excluded and deported, even though there was no law against the immigration of Indians at this time.
Young's book, co-written with Erica Lee, a history professor at the University of Minnesota and also the daughter of a detainee, was commissioned by the Angel Island Immigration Station Foundation and published this fall on the 100th anniversary of the station's founding. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB. If the immigration station at New York Harbor's Ellis Island was a funnel into the Great American Melting Pot, its West Coast counterpart, at Angel Island, was more like a tea strainer, holding back many while admitting comparatively few. And the bases for those decisions were far from fair.
Whether you were admitted and how long you were detained and how you were treated at Angel Island depended on the politics and economics at the time, the foreign relations between your home country and the U.S., but more than that, your race, your class, your gender, and your nationality.
Judy Young is the co-author of a new book that carefully examines those factors and the ways in which they were applied. The product of 5 years of research, Angel Island, Immigrant Gateway to America, draws its stories both from the extensive files maintained by the Immigration Office and a handful of first-person accounts.
Anyone who went through Angel Island would now be in their 80s and 90s. So we ended up finding about a dozen people to interview and another dozen descendants or family members of former detainees.
Young is a retired professor of American Studies at UC Santa Cruz, but this subject is of more than academic interest to her. It's very close to home.
My father was detained on Angel Island in 1921 when he came to the United States as the paper son of a Chinese merchant in Stockton. My father never would talk about Angel Island or about what happened at Angel Island because he kept his false identity and was always fearful of detection and deportation throughout his whole life. So he would certainly not want us to know about this because as children we may just spill the beans and get the whole family deported. That was his worst fear.
Immigrants from China, such as Young's father, were the majority of those who passed through the Angel Island station. But she notes that many other Oriental nations were also part of that flow, along with a mere handful of Caucasians.
We're talking about 500,000 people, two-thirds from China and Japan. And then there were immigrants from 80 other countries from around the world. We have chapters about the Chinese, about the Japanese, about the Koreans, South Asians from India and Pakistan, Mexicans, Filipinos, and European countries. I have a chapter on the experiences of Russians and Jews coming across Siberia, China, Japan, and then across the Pacific to land in San Francisco. And many of them also were taken to Angel Island and processed through there.
Among that mix, Young reports, the Russians and Jews were quite readily admitted, with only short delays, while the rate of rejection was highest for South Asian Indians.
South Asians, those from India in particular, Sikhs from the Punjab area, had the highest deportation rate. 66% were excluded and deported, even though there was no law against the immigration of Indians at this time.
Young's book, co-written with Erica Lee, a history professor at the University of Minnesota and also the daughter of a detainee, was commissioned by the Angel Island Immigration Station Foundation and published this fall on the 100th anniversary of the station's founding. I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB.